Good evening. Tonight, our topic is the worship of God. So as a starting point this evening, God's word is vast and broad, and it's the same for the worship of God. There are many ways that we can worship God. There's many ways, many aspects that God requires in worship. So, as a starting point here, I know that I am a weak man, and that apart from God, there will be an inadequacy in what is said tonight. So as we start, I want to open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening and ask that you would open your word unto us tonight, that your word would be made known, that the truths about your worship, how you desire us to worship you, how we come before you and worship you, and how we seek to worship you would be true worship that honors and glorifies you. And I pray, Lord, that we would fear you, and that, especially for myself, as I open your word tonight, that you would go before me, that you'd be with the people that hear your word, that it would be edifying and glorifying to you, Lord. I pray these things in your name. Amen. So tonight's passage comes from Psalms 27. But before I read it, I'm going to give you a few things to start thinking about. So the topics tonight, some of these are going to be on the fear of the Lord, what it means to fear God and worship, how we seek after the Lord, offerings of sacrifice of joy unto the Lord, seeking God's mercy in worship and how he shows his mercy unto us, learning God's word, and seeking to believe to see the goodness of the Lord, to seek after God's goodness. So what are some of the things that come to mind when we talk about worship, when you think about worship? I'll open the floor here for a few seconds if anybody wants to say a few things that comes to mind.
First thing that comes to my mind is reminded of that seminar when we came here about a year ago. Anyhow, you talked a little bit about worship, and worship is not a figment of man's imagination. Worship is very specifically described. God very specifically describes how he desires to be worshipped. And we, the people who throughout recorded scripture of Old Testament and New Testament, those who tried to worship God in their own manner, it didn't always go so well for some of us. So the point being made is God has a very specific way that he desires for us to worship him. It's not up for grabs. Mm-hmm.
That's very true. God does have a specific way on how he wants us to worship him. What about some other things? Like what God requires in worship, maybe when he requires worship, where, how. So some things that came to my mind is when you worship, is there a certain order of worship, order of service? And then also prayer, music, teaching. How does God desire the teaching to be done in worship? The length, the topics. And then there's elders and deacons. And then church service. What day do you worship? Do you worship Sunday? Do you worship Sunday morning? Do you worship Sunday evening? Do you worship any day of the week? And then where do you worship? And then offerings, giving, gifts, communion. We remember what Christ has done for us. Should communion be a daily activity? Should it be weekly or monthly? Do we have the heart to worship God, the testimonies, praising? And then there's family worship. If we have daily family worship, in our homes? Do we read the Bible? Do we sing? Do we do catechisms? And then personal worship. How does personal worship play into this? And private worship. So thinking about all these things, let's turn to Psalms 27. Beginning in verse 1. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat me up my flesh, they stumble and fall. Though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When they sayest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, this passage is a psalm of David. So starting out here in verse 1, talks about the fear of who do we fear? It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? So the question could be asked, who do we fear? Then it continues on, the Lord is my strength of my light. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me and eat my flesh, they stumble and fall. Though the host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. So who are we to fear? We are to fear God. So if we turn over to Job, starting in Job chapter 1, Job is a man of God, and I'm sure many of us know this story. But it starts out with verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And this man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. So Job was a man that feared God. Jumping down to verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered thy servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? So, I'm not going to read all of Job tonight, but I challenge you to go home and read at least chapter 1. It's a very good read. So, jumping down towards the end of chapter 1, but we know how it goes that God takes everything away from Job except for very few things, his life. And Job answers and responds to this in verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down on the ground and worshipped. Why did he worship God? Because he knew he was visited by God and God had touched him. And he said, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." A similar passage, not the same though, in Genesis 24 with Isaac and Rebekah. In verse 52 it says, "And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth." So God answered Abraham's servant's request by worshipping the Lord and bowing down to the earth and worship to the Lord. So I ask the question again. Who do we fear? Do we fear God in everything that we do? Do we fear God in worship as we come before him in his house to worship him? Or do we fear man? And we are to be confident in the fear of the Lord. In Nehemiah 1:7, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him." No one has the power to take life away while God defends us. While God defends us. God is to those who put their trust in him a stronghold and fortress that they are safe in. And then application on how we may fear God in worship. Do we fear God in daily worship? Do we worship him as routine, or do we worship him because we truly fear him? In Luke 12, verses 4 to 7 says, "And I say unto you, my friend, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for a farthing? And not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows." All right, going back to Psalms 27. Picking back up in verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." This starts out with, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." So I'm going to ask the question, how do we seek after God in worship? How do we seek the Lord when we come to him in worship? What is the one thing that I desire of the Lord? Do I desire worldly things, or do I desire heavenly things? Psalms 23, verse 4 to 6 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life. When will I dwell in the house of the Lord? And we will get to behold the beauty of the Lord. So, back to some application here. How do we seek after the Lord in worship? What is some of the ways? And how does God seek that we seek after the Lord? God is very precise on how He wants us, how He wants worship to be done. Two examples of this would be when the Israelites built the Ark of the Covenant of God. God was very specific on how He wanted the ark built. He described its dimensions, what it was to be made of, how it was to be made, who was going to make it, how it was going to be carried, who was going to carry it. Very precise. And we are to seek to know God and seek to know how He desires us to worship. And then also, when they made the temple was described, and there's multiple chapters going into great detail on how it was to be built. So big, so long, out of such and such material. And then after it's all meticulously described, it was repeated again. So we are to seek after God by knowing His Word and what His Word says about worship. So moving on in Psalms 27, picking back up in verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His temple sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord. So one thing in this verse, it says that I will offer in His temple sacrifices of joy. Do we offer to the Lord sacrifices of joy in our worship? In Nehemiah, when they had finished building the walls, Nehemiah 12:43, also in the day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy, and their wives also and their children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. When offering great sacrifices of rejoicing and joy, it is to be unto the Lord as worship unto Him. So what is a way that we can offer sacrifices of joy unto the Lord? And what is our motivation of offering sacrifices to the Lord? Is it of joy or is it of duty? Do we seek to give God the first fruits of our life and our increase of our time and talents and resources from joy or from doing it? Our offerings of worship and prayer and even preaching of myself tonight, do I do it as an offering of joy to the Lord, or do I do it because it makes me feel good, or do I do it because of just I like to preach, which isn't always the case? But what is our motivation of offering sacrifices of joy? It's a question I'm going to leave with you tonight. All right, jumping back to Psalms 27, verse 7 and on. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my loud voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, My heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. God shows his mercy unto us. We are to seek, not just seek the Lord in worship, but we are to seek the mercy of God. Psalms 136, verse 1 says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy unto us, unto his children, endures forever. We are to seek after it. I am to cry with a loud voice to God to have mercy upon me, and he will answer my cry. How do we seek God's mercy? How do we seek his face? I am to seek God that he puts not away his anger, puts not me away, puts me not away in anger, and leaves me not, that he neither forsakes me either. God's word is full of ways his mercy is shown unto us and salvation unto us. Those that believe in God, God shows great mercy unto them and salvation. Romans 1:16 says, For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto God, of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. God shows his mercy unto us in salvation. So how do we seek more of God's mercy and worship? This kind of ties back to the second point, with seeking the Lord in worship. But we can see how God shows his mercy unto us by studying how he shows his mercy unto us, by knowing his word and knowing what his word says. All right, continuing on in Psalms 27, picking back up in verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witness are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelties. So here in verse 10, it says, when my father and mother forsake me, or if, or when, or father or mother, or people on this earth forsake or forget me, God will not. Isaiah chapters 49, verses 13 to 16 says, Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing. O mountains of the Lord hath, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, thou may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are compassly before me. God is continually before us. God cannot forget his children. He will not deliver them over to the will of their enemies. Even if false witness are risen up against them, and such as breathe out cruelties. Realize that in the end, all we have is God. God will watch over his children. So even if anyone forsake us, we still have the Lord. And then continuing on, it says, teach me thy way, O Lord. God will lead me in a plain path, in a straight path, because of my enemies. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 and on. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But evil men and scorners shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given of inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we are to know the Holy Scriptures, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I'm going to ask the question again: how do we learn God's word and worship? It is a daily lifestyle, not just one time a week, once a month, but we need to constantly learn his word. And this can be done by reading God's word in worship, by praying God's word, by God's word being preached, by singing his word, by singing the Psalms. These are all ways that we can learn God's word in worship. All right, jumping back to Psalms 27, picking back up in verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We would faint unless we believe to see the goodness of the Lord. Exodus chapter 33, verses 18 to 23. And he said, this is Moses talking, asking the Lord to show him his glory. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on them on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of a rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shalt thou not see. So here we see God showed Moses his glory and showed his goodness. And then in Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For the Lord is our shepherd, and we are his children, and surely goodness and his mercy shall follow us. So God's goodness. We are all sinners, but we are all saved by God's grace, God's children. How do we believe to see the goodness of the Lord in worship? Well, one way may be we can see God's goodness and how he shows to us in our everyday worship unto him. Whether we're worshiping as a family, seeking the goodness of the Lord, or as Job, when God touched him and he fell down and worshiped the Lord. So in conclusion here, we are to fear the Lord, to seek after the Lord, to seek the Lord in worship. We are to offer sacrifices of joy unto the Lord, to seek after God's mercy, that he show his mercy unto us, to learn God's word, to study more about worship and what God requires of worship, and to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord, that we don't faint, that we seek after God, that we don't faint in worship, in worshiping the Lord, but continually turn to the Lord and worship him. So let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this evening and studying your word on worship, Lord. I just thank you for these different aspects of worship and how we are to worship you, Lord. Pray all these things, Lord, in your name, for your glory. Amen.